K101, I'm Sean Kelly. Joining us in studio, we got special guests. We've been telling you all day today about Governor Kevin Stitt joining us here on K101. Also in the studio with us, the Regent Jeff Hickman, as well as he's been spending time with the governor today. Welcome, Governor Stitt. Glad you could come by and see us today.
Oh, thanks so much, man. It's great to be in Woodward, and love coming down here and seeing all the great progress and everything everybody's doing and saying hi to all my old friends.
What have you been doing in Woodward today? You've been here, what, 4 or 5 hours now today?
Yeah, well, we didn't make it out this morning in time for the ribbon cutting, but we were really excited. Some of the investments we've made, extending the runway, the new FBO, the new building there, which, you know, a regional airport like this is a huge economic driver. So we put $20 million from the state in, and that was exciting. And then we spoke at the Chamber of Commerce and went by the career techs and went by some of the businesses here. And we're going to go to the job fair here after the radio program. So it's just great. Been all over town and talked to a bunch of different people and just seeing what the needs are in Woodward.
Now, I know you're embarking on a 77-county tour. And I guess some of our listeners out here are a bit cynical and are wondering why, because you're not running for office or anything. So, you know, a lot of times we only get political figures out here when they want our votes.
Yeah.
So why come out to Northwest Oklahoma? Why a 77-county tour when you're on the end of your term?
Well, first off, you know, as governor, I'm trying to finish as strong as possible. And so it's such an honor to serve, you know, the state I grew up in, that my grandparents grew up in, and be the governor. And so we're going to leave it all on the field. I've got one session left. So when I can go out and I can push my agenda and talk about the things that are important to Oklahomans and they're important to make us the most business-friendly state, the most conservative state, those are all good things. And it helps push the legislature to get these things across the finish line.
Do you find that being now that you not running for re-election, do you feel a freedom? Do you feel like you're a little more able to do what you want to do? You don't feel beholden to anybody? Is there kind of a freedom with that?
Yeah, it's great to be a second term governor. Yes, absolutely. So yeah, it's you're not running for re-election. So hopefully everybody understands. I mean, I think that's why people hate politicians a lot of times, because they can see right through them. They get elected to do a job and then they're running for their next job. And everything's about a press statement or what they can do. And so I hope Oklahomans have been super proud with how I'm the businessman governor. I came in to put a fresh set of eyes on things. And it's just been amazing what we've accomplished. We have the largest savings account we've ever had. I've cut $1.6 billion in taxes since I've been governor. I've put more money in education in my first seven years than they did for like 30 years before I got here combined. So I'm just really proud of what we've done and want to continue that momentum. I've got one session left. So, you know, my parents said how you finish one job is how you start the next job. And so I'm going to leave it all on the field all the way through January of 27 until I hand it over, and then I'm going to cheer on the next guy. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go serve our state or our country and then go back to the private sector. And politics wasn't supposed to be a career. And so that's why I was a business guy, never ran for governor. I'm serving my state, and I'll go back to the private sector.
With your State of the State address a week or so ago, you kind of laid out some of the things you wanted to see happen here in your last couple of years of your term. And one of the things I think that raised a lot of eyebrows, especially out here in rural Oklahoma, was the replacing the Oklahoma State School Athletic Association. That got a lot of folks talking.
I did it.
Yeah, and our state senator out here, Casey Murdoch, put forth a bill that would replace that. How would a government organization overseeing school activities and athletics be different than the OSSAA?
Well, I never said I wanted a government agency overseeing it. Certainly don't want to do that. But I look at other states. I look at Texas. I look at Florida. Like Tim Tebow. We all know him. We were fans of his. He won the Heisman Trophy at the University of Florida. Did you know he was a homeschooler in Florida? And yet he played for his local high school team. So other states do things differently than us. And so I've just heard too many stories about kids wanting to transfer schools or they move to another area. And the OSSAA has gotten in the way, and the parents have had to hire attorneys. So as we've looked at all that, we just said, hey, this is a private 501c3. So all the state superintendents have opted into that. So we certainly should have a say in how they organize that organization. Let's just look at what the best practices are in Ohio or California or Texas or Florida
and let's make sure that we're following what makes sense for the kids, right? If you focus on the kids, letting them chase their American dream and not get in the way and having a bunch of bureaucrats get in the way of kids playing basketball or wrestling at the new school, that's all we're trying to do, right? So whether it's a new 501c3 or we get the current one just to adopt some different make sense guidelines, I think that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't think more government's the answer. There's no doubt about that. I'm a limited government guy.
I think so. What a lot of folks are worried about is they look at how the NCAA is now with open recruiting and the transfer portal, and they're looking at without the OSSAA and just total free-for-all on recruiting in high school, that might be something that wouldn't be best for the school districts.
Somebody's spinning you guys saying that that's what we want, and that's not what I want. We're not going to say you can unlimited. We're not saying you can go play football at this school and baseball at this school and play and wrestle at this school. We're not saying that. But we do understand that with online school, with home schools, with private schools, with all the different things, it looks different than maybe it did 20, 30 years ago when I went to high school and played football at Norman High School and went to Norman schools my whole life. And there was only one high school then. So things look differently. We've got charter schools. We have, you know, UConn has an online program, and a lot of schools are doing that. So we've got to think through what does that look like. And when we keep our kids on as the focus, I think we can figure this out, right? I'm just challenging the legislature to, hey, let's go study, bring all the superintendents, the coaches together. I had 20 high school football coaches from all over the state come into the governor's office to share with me their problems and what they're seeing. And I said, guys, y'all fix this, tell us what to do, and then we'll go push the OSSAA to adopt some of the make sense rules that we know are working in Ohio or some of these other states.
Governor, I think unless someone's been living under a rock, I think anyone in America would realize you have brought conservative business principles to state government. You laid out a pretty aggressive agenda in your State of the State speech last week, both, you know, fixing the quote-unquote medical marijuana plan that was sold to us that was supposed to be, you know, for children with seizures and adults with cancer, and it obviously has become a lot more than that. You laid out a plan that I think is very intriguing about making the state school superintendent appointed by the governor. You know, in my time, my 12 years in office, it seemed like anytime there was a scandal, whether it was with the labor commissioner or the insurance commissioner or the state superintendent, when that person had to resign and the governor got to appoint someone, it seems like you got someone, you know, maybe even better qualified that wasn't willing to run, but you had someone that then was also accountable to the governor under your proposed system, where you could fire them if need be. If you had a state superintendent that wasn't doing what you wanted, you could address that issue. Talk more about some of those things that you laid out in your State of the State speech that you'd like voters to have a say in and change the state for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, the medical marijuana thing, to your point, I think we were sold a bill of goods, right? It was, hey, we're very compassionate people, and we were said, hey, this is going to be medicine for a kid that has seizures or somebody that has cancer, and that's great. We want that to happen. But what actually happened is we have more dispensaries than we do pharmacies right now in the state of Oklahoma. Think about that. That's not what we envisioned or what we were told. And so I'm saying, hey, legislature, give that back to another vote of the people. Let them decide. Do they want the way it looks, or do they want to just get rid of it completely, right? Or if we're going to have medicine, why isn't it at the pharmacy, right? Why do we have more dispensaries than we do pharmacy? So I think that's an important state question. And to your point, you know, I think the culture has changed in the education department now because I was able to appoint Lindell Fields. It takes all the politics out of it. And so I've told Oklahomans that, hey, let the next governor choose that superintendent, right? Give that a vote to the people. Let's let the legislature do that, because all these statewide elected officials, you vote for a governor and you say, governor, go fix education. But then the governor has to work with someone that's running for governor too, in my case, right? Or Joy Hofmeister flipped to the Democrat Party to run against me, which is fine. But I'm just sharing with Oklahomans why politics are a problem. 38 other states, the governors appoint their education superintendent. And I just think that better aligns with who you elect as your next governor. So this isn't self-serving for me. I'm just an Oklahoman, and I'm just telling Oklahomans we'll be better off if we let future governors appoint that position. So those are two big things I think will be important. Also, the Medicaid at the ballot. I want to protect Medicaid for the aged, blind, disabled, pregnant women, children, But right now in our Constitution, we also are having to provide free health insurance for working adults. And so we can't afford to do this. I'm just telling you. So we need flexibility there, that if the funding changes from the feds, we need that we need future legislatures to be able to do that. That's another state question I've asked for.
You know, one of the most important things that a governor's job is to appoint people to numerous boards and commissions across the state. And you've put people in place that have helped advance, you know, really the conservative principles that you share. One of those, I know Northwestern here in our part of the state, and Alva and Woodward received some deferred maintenance money. You worked with the legislature, as you mentioned, you know, more funding for education in the history of the state. You worked to get deferred maintenance money to higher education, and then the regents that you've put the team together there were able to get those dollars out to where projects actually were on a need base around the state. And that's the case in other things. You came by the meeting that we had last week and talked about moving to 90-hour degree programs, you know, eliminating some of the general ed and getting students out into career paths more quickly as well. And so there's a lot of things I know that you have pushed either personally or through the boards that you've been able to put in place. One of those partnerships you looked at today with High Plains Technology Center here in Woodward and possibly with Northwestern Oklahoma State University to try to develop some type of an associate's degree program or a better partnership where higher ed, career tech can work together. And I know you spent a lot of time. This isn't your first trip to High Plains or to Woodward to look at these programs, but you've spent a lot of time out there today looking at that program.
Thoughts? Yeah. Well, I mean, Jeff Hickman, we all know, respect you so much, you being the Speaker of the House and also serving on the state regents. And so you've been a great voice for Western Oklahoma and really been an advisor to me on telling me what needs to happen in Western Oklahoma. But to your point, you know, that 90 degree program, 90 hours to get a college degree, that just makes perfect sense, because we all know your first 2 years of college, you're doing a lot of electives and things that some, you know, quote unquote, super smart person said, oh, well, this is going to be a more well-rounded person if they take 30 hours of this. Well, the consequences are everybody's graduating with too much debt right now. And so let's shrink that down. Unless if a kid can get an accounting degree in 90 hours, which is really only 60 hours of accounting, let's help him do that. So I think that's common sense. People all over the country are talking about Oklahoma now doing that. Also, tenure reform. I'm pushing all of our higher eds to say, hey, everybody has to show up and do a good job at work, or you shouldn't have a job. And except in higher ed, a lot of times you have these tenured professors where they're really taking advantage of the taxpayer. And not everybody, but there are definitely some cases where you want to make sure that they're accountable to what they're supposed to be doing, teaching classes or doing research. And then, you know, I'm just a huge fan of Great Plains Career Tech here. I think what they're doing is it's one of the best examples in the entire state on training mechanics, and you've got the WIND program out here, and you've got all the great things they're doing. They even do TAP down to the middle school area, which I think is a great model. And so whatever we can do to help on the funding side to train more people for Western Oklahoma, for the Panhandle, they've got a CDL program where they're giving commercial driver's licenses. And so I think it's a model that I'm trying to push throughout the entire state. And so now we're talking about maybe doing some dorm rooms in the junior college area and helping with some financing on that. And that's, you know, if you focus on the kids, I think these are easy decisions to make.
You made national news. In fact, I just saw it before you walked in the Chronicle for Higher Education today about the talk about tenure reform. So it's going across the country that Oklahoma's leading the way in some of these reforms in education because of your leadership. One last question I had, Sean. You know, agriculture is a big deal, as is oil and gas in this part of the state, the wind industry and others. But agriculture relies on, in Western Oklahoma, actually relies on the port in the Tulsa area, which is, you know, your neck of the woods where you were in business before you ran for governor. The port's important because it moves grain down the river to the Gulf, and it brings fertilizer into Oklahoma and then out this direction. You have worked tirelessly to bring a new industry to that part of the state with this aluminum plant. I don't think there's been one built in the United States in decades. Why does that matter to agriculture? Well, it matters because the more traffic you have on that river and the more investment in the river, it's good for everybody that uses it, which agriculture is a big user too. But what's the latest update on that project that you've worked so hard on to bring that industry to Oklahoma, well, to the United States for that matter?
Great point. They were actually at the governor's, they were at the state capitol yesterday, and I met with a group of them from, they're from the UAE. They're partnering with Century Aluminum here. They're out of Chicago. They've got some plants in Kentucky. But you, to your point, there's not been a new smelter. It's called an aluminum smelter where they actually manufacture the aluminum in over 45 years in the United States. Hasn't been a new one. They've closed a bunch of them. And so this partnership, about 50% of the aluminum that we use in the U.S. all is imported. So part of President Trump's plan is we have to get this supply chain closer to home. So when the president went to the UAE, he actually made the announcement, talked about this. It's called EGA, Emirates Global Aluminum. It's going to be about a $6 billion investment in Oklahoma. And to your point, what people don't also realize is all the downstream and all the companies that show up around that further use aluminum, like think about Coke cans or think about automobile parts and everything that uses aluminum. If you can be close to an aluminum plant, you basically can get the aluminum delivered to you in liquid form versus in those billets where they have to
melt it down, basically.
And you have to use so much more energy to remelt it. So that's why everybody wants to be located next to it. So this is the biggest economic play we could have in our state in a long time. And to your point on the port, so they bring in the raw materials up the river, and we're already working with Arkansas to lower that or to dredge that to 12 feet, which would allow us to get more fertilizer up and bigger barges down. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge, huge plus. And then some of the locks and dam system, we're working with the federal government and the Corps of Engineers to get those replaced as well. I've been working on that since 2019 when I first came in.
One final question. Last week you found yourself in the crosshairs of President Trump. What's the status? How are you and President Trump getting along now?
Well, first off, I support the president, and I think my record's great for that, for being conservative. And so, listen, I know the president, you know, he'll get over it, doesn't mean much out of it, or he wouldn't have J.D. Vance. I think J.D. Vance called him names, and then he's his vice president now, and we had Marco Rubio said he was a con artist back in 2016, and now he's his Secretary of State. So President Trump has a short memory, but my job at the National Governor Association, so I'll tell everybody what happened, is to lead all 50 governors. And so basically, the business meeting that we have every year at the White House, they only invited Republican governors. And I was planning on going, and no problem, and am going. But I just simply said, hey, if it's just Republican governors, it can't be facilitated by the National Governor Association. So that's all that happened. And so I think President Trump was getting, I think his staff screwed up. I don't think they gave him correct information. And anyway, but it's all settled. And there's two governors not going to the dinner, but all the governors are invited to the business meeting, which is going to be good. So now the National Governor Association is sponsoring that business meeting. So that's all that happened. I didn't cancel any meeting. I can't cancel a meeting at the White House. So there's a lot of misinformation. Whether it's Biden in the White House or Trump in the White House, I'm honored to represent Oklahoma in Washington, D.C. and get a lot of things done for our state.
All right. Governor Kevin Stitt joining us today here on K101. We certainly appreciate it, and glad you could take some time out of your day to stop by our little radio station.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and it's great to see everybody out here. It's fun.